This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
This is The Joe Gaither Show on BamaCentral.com.
Okay, we're not muted anymore, Theo. Roll Tide. Welcome in. It's the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central, BamaCentral.com. We're hanging out with you guys on a Friday. I hope you guys are having a great day today. We're going to get it rolling. It's a football Friday. Oh, Mason, let me put our little logo up in the top corner for the football Friday. There we go. We're looking good. Oh, that's not going to work for us. Right there. That'll be the look for us today on the Bama Central YouTube channel, on the Bama Central Facebook page, right there on my own social media machine at JoeGaither6. You can find the show right there in any of those places. You can also find the show on Apple Podcasts, Amazon, Spotify, really wherever you get your podcasts. You can find the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you for subscribing, rating, reviewing the program. As we get ready for another game day tomorrow in Bryant-Denny Stadium, Bama Central will be there. Bama Central, Alabama Crimson Tide on SI will be there in the smaller, won't be smaller tomorrow, but it'll be smaller soon, Bryant-Denny Stadium press box. We got to make more room for luxury suites. So somebody's getting their seat cut. It's probably me. So we will be back in Bryant-Denny Stadium tomorrow to watch Alabama take on Wisconsin. We're going to talk about it today on a Football Friday. We'll take your voicemail. I got Dax on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340. You can leave your prediction voicemail for the weekend. I think Dax has got his yardages all set. He's done his math. He's done his homework. He's going to give you his score prediction. I think the line, Mason, has moved from 20.5 back to 21.5. I saw that in the last day or so. Really, I think I saw it last night as I was in between matches at Two Dimes during the Crimson Clash. A dude jumped off the balcony. So if you missed it, and I know you did, you've missed out. The dude jumped off the entire balcony onto the stage. Crashed into a bunch of folks. So it was a wild time at Two Dimes last night. But we are live in the Derek Daniels State Farm Studios. You can call Derek for all of your insurance needs at 205-758-3391. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Call and see how much he can save you today. He saved my man Theo a bunch of money. He'll save you a bunch of money. All you got to do is give him a call, 205-758-3391. Home, life, auto insurance needs. Like a good neighbor, Derek Daniel is there. Follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez _. He doesn't have the nameplate today because we don't have enough cameras. When I hit the $1 million in the $1 billion lotto for the Tennessee lottery, that's the one like splurge thing I'm going to do is remodel this studio, get a bunch of cameras, and have a bunch of set positions.
You're not going to go pay Kalen DeBoer's buyout?
No, I'm not paying Kalen DeBoer's buyout. That dulcet voice is Mason Woods. Follow him at MAWoods_. And Mason, get out of here with that. I'm not giving $70 million for that.
You think that lady changed her tune a little bit for last weekend?
You think she was embarrassed?
No touch.
Or maybe that's what motivated this football team. That's maybe she's the reason to turn around here.
That's right.
If I repeat in the Mount Moore facility.
He said, pay my buyout, son of a gun.
That's what Tim Keenan was yelling about in his ear. That's what it was.
Oh, that's a great thing to speculate on. We haven't really talked about that this whole week. Unusual, odd, yes, yes. What did Tim Keenan say? And like, coach, this would have been a perfect bleep in place to show your personality on Monday. E.G. McWhorter asked about it, and – dang it, EG, you stole my question because I had my hand up for the same thing. So my puny question about Michael Carroll was a big pivot. I wanted – like EG asked it in a very TV fashion. Just go straight at him, EG. What did Tim Keenan say? just go straight at him. We saw a moment on the sidelines where Tim Keenan's yelling at you before the game. What did he say? You're nodding your head. What did he say? Theo, what do you think he said?
I wish I knew, but I'm sure it was something that locked him in, huh?
This is speculation. Hold on. We'll put this out. It's reckless speculation.
Reckless speculation on what Tim Keenan said to Kalen DeBoer. I think he probably was. Man, he chose the wrong person to ask this. Joe, I'm gonna be honest.
Thank you so much, Everett. Everett fixing the sound issue. I did not select the right thing. Say hey, Mason. Make sure Everett can hear you.
How we doing, Everett? Doing good this morning.
You get that was your 20 seconds of to come up with an idea.
Oh, sorry.
All right. That's fine.
I mean, I imagine there was a lot of words that we can't repeat on this show said in that short exchange there. Maybe some prove those mother bleepers wrong. Da 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 da. You heard what they said about you this week, coach. We're behind
raising
you.
Money for your buyout.
Yeah, I imagine it was, you know, a bit of that sprinkled in with some four letter words that maybe we can't quite share here.
Aggression, coach. Be aggressive. Time to yell at any of these underclassmen who don't have their bleep right.
I'm all for this, I think.
I am too.
I think.
if Tim Keenan, and like you remember it, Mason, right after we talked to Quay Rusall the week after the Florida State game, he basically was like, you know, Tim wasn't really there to. Mm-hmm. I wonder if Tim is just like the nasty man that you need on the football team that's like, yeah, man, we're going to do this. We don't care how hard it is. We don't care how much it hurts, how strong they are. We're Alabama, nasty man.
I mean, go ahead.
No, but yeah, like the more I hear the team talk and the more I hear Keenan's name brought up, I think the more apparent it becomes that he is the leader of the defense, probably mm-hmm. the leader of the team.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, he is a guy that I think some of us not, you know, you've seen people talk about Tim Keenan not being maybe at quite the same standard of skill that we've had with Alabama defensive linemen in the past. And, you know, people have called for, you know, why don't we get new guys in there? I think it's because what Tim Keenan brings is invaluable to the team, that leadership quality. It is so much more than just what he does, you know, on the actual field in between the lines there. Like he is the leader of the defense. He is the motivator really seemingly for, I guess, the coaching staff as well, which, you know, you gotta have those guys. It's a little disappointing that he looks to be maybe one of the only ones. I would hope that you'd have maybe at least a few out there that are doing this, but you know, maybe we just don't see it from some other guys.
Can we drop some of that into Edric Hill, into London Simmons, into Steve Bolabumwa?
I imagine
just to like start. Like, we're not trying to. I'm not trying to push Tim Keenan out in 2025. Sure. I'm trying to like plant those seeds for the next crop of young guys.
Yes. I think that's what Dre Kirkpatrick was maybe trying to do this last weekend. Not necessarily defensive lineman, but a guy trying to step into a role of setting the tone for the rest of the defense. I don't know. You know, it's probably tough for London Simmons being a young guy. I mean, it's tough for a lot of those guys along that defensive line, all of them being kind of inexperienced guys that maybe aren't necessarily as, I mean, everybody on the team knows each other, but, you know, they don't know them like they know Tim Keenan probably. So it's probably a little tougher to step into that role, I would imagine. Still got to be somebody, though, I guess.
You ever say anything to your head coach in high school, Theo, to get him going?
No, I've not. You know, my high school wrestling coach would have had me probably running for the rest of the school week if I ever said a word to him. But hey, Kalen DeBoer is a different coach.
Mason, you've talked about your high school football experience. You ever go up to the coach and get him rah-rahed up?
I mean, I'm sure I tried at one point early in the season, but after about 3-4 weeks in, it all became a pretty just casual affair. Theo, you don't know, I think I won 2 games in 4 years of high school football. We went 2-38. That's what it was in 4 years. Yeah, good times. So we didn't win. We didn't do a whole lot of winning, and we were pretty sure that we weren't going to do a whole lot of winning very early in every season. So wasn't a whole lot of yelling at the coach.
The only time I did this was halftime of the big rivalry game my senior year. We're down 3. It might have been 14-10. We're down. It might have been 17-14. Or it's pretty close. Mm-hmm. And we're kicking off. We're breaking out of the locker room, And I go up to the coach. This is his first year taking over after somebody's been long successful. We've won this rivalry game 9 times in a row. We're trying to make it 10 right here. And I'm feeling a lot of pressure. And I go up to coach and I said, hey, coach, we got them right where we want them. And we walk off. And we're running out of locker room with that. And he just looked at me and smiled. And, you know, I stole that from my dad. My dad would always do that. We'd watch games. And he'd go, it's all right, Joe. We got them right where we want them. And we did. We ended up winning that game in overtime. So
that's a nice story. I do remember one time not talking to a coach, but me as a freshman when I was playing JV ball, because they would play, you know, it was like JV on Thursday, varsity on Friday. We would have to play both because we had so few players on the varsity team. So I would be, you know, I'd just sit on the bench Friday nights. But in the JV game, one of the earliest one, maybe the first one of the season. And I remember we were just getting, I mean, ran through. Like, defense was, you know, offense averaging 8-10 yards a carry. Like, you know, they're just rushing the ball right down our throats every play. And I remember I finally, it was like probably on the 10-yard line or so. I think the offense had called a timeout, and we're all standing there kind of waiting for it to come back. And I, like, tried to get up and yell, like, are they really better than us? And one of the guys on my team just went, yes, and really set the tone for the rest of the game.
No, that's when you go up to that player and you punt, you just beat him down. You just beat him into submission.
Yeah, we probably ended up losing like 40-14 or something.
You just grab that player and you shut up, Billy.
Yeah, it was a tough one. I just said, okay, and went back down into my 3-point stance.
Well, Tim Keenan, you've got a new role this Saturday and every Saturday. Right before kickoff, you need to go get in Coach DeBoer's face and give him the same medicine you gave him this past week. We going dark pants, dark hoodie again, black on black. Seems to be a winning attire. It's for Kalen DeBoer. He can win in. Well, yeah,
they got to get Tim Keenan like to record a video for the Jumbotrons at home games. I don't know what the video package is looking like these days.
It won't be family friendly. That's the problem.
Shucks. Oh, darn. Just throw some bleeps in there. It'll still have the same effect, honestly.
That's right. People know what we're trying to say on this show. They know exactly what we're trying to say. We're just keeping it clean. So
you tell me, like, I mean, that would get the crowd just immensely hyped up. Yeah, you see, you know, it's a third and short. You see Tim Keenan jumping on. He's on the screen in all four corners yelling. I don't even know what he has to say, but it's like probably literally anything, and that crowd would lose their minds.
Theo, that would make the student section lose their minds much more than the Bear Bryant. Well, I ain't never been nothing but a
winner. All right, well, hang on now. That's great.
It's great, but no student is getting...
They don't know it. The kids don't know it, Mason.
They don't, yeah.
That's my point. The children...
What's the damn university's fault for spending all their time getting out-of-state kids?
That's right,
Theo.
No, that's right.
But good Lord.
That's right.
Nobody if you grew up in the state of Alabama, you grow up your whole life knowing who that is and knowing what that quote is.
Well, I ain't never been nothing but a winner.
But when you come here from... God knows where else in the country, because they've sent some recruiter out to your high school to bring you in. You just don't know the history. So, yeah, you get here on a game day and it's like, who the hell's that old guy wearing that dumb hat?
If you want to walk the heavenly streets of gold.
That was my high school senior quote.
Really?
You've got to know the password.
Bingo. Roll Tide.
Golly, you don't even know. You gotta finish it. Roll Tide.
I've got one other that I've got to admit did not know. So I'm writing roll call last Sunday. And apparently Bear Bryant is the one who popularized the saying, like, it's not the amount of it's not the size of the dog in the fight. That was Bear Bryant, and I did not know.
Oh my
that.
God. You need to read some books,
because Eisenhower said it first, but Bryant said it second and made it go crazy. So I admit that was a bit of a casual moment.
Do you know what a tie is like, according to Coach Bryant?
I do not.
A tie is like kissing your sister.
I used to have a little league coach that would tell us that. And wow. Then if it was a really close game, he'd say, that one was maybe a stepsister.
Theo.
I'll do some Bear Bryant.
No, you won't. Research. No, you won't.
I will. Do not.
I don't believe you. We'll see.
You can quiz me in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks. Okay.
I'll have the whole weekend of the bye week to
all right, finish this sentence. The price of victory is high, but
you see, this is why you got to do it in 2 weeks, not like right now.
Mason,
I'll be honest, you stumped me with that one too.
But so are the rewards.
So are the rewards.
That's a good one though. These are the thing, and you know, admittedly, it's been one season, so we're only, you know, one season and two games. So maybe Kalen DeBoer's got some time to figure out some DeBoerisms. Right. But this is seemingly what we are lacking from this coaching staff that we had with Coach Saban. I know not everybody is Coach Saban, not everybody is Coach Bryant. Alabama was blessed with two of the greatest coaches in the history of the sport, probably the two greatest coaches in the history of the sport.
DeBoer needs a make their ass quit line.
But you do. You got to have some sort of like mantra about you where Nick Saban's was, yeah, we're going to make their ass quit. Do your job. And, you know, you just need one of those.
I don't know if DeBoer's got that in him.
You know, that's what Tim Keenan was trying to instill in him.
Do you want to give him one, Theo? Do you want to suggest one?
Well, maybe his thing will just be like camera reactions, like the way he, I don't know, like facial expressions.
He needs to, that's one area.
He's not intimidating enough for it to be, for him to be a scowl guy. You know, he can't, I don't buy him
because it's not a scowl. It looks confused.
He just looks too friendly.
Right.
Maybe that's just his thing, you know?
If he could turn the confused face into a scowl, I think that'd be better.
I mean, I remember Pete Carroll in college, and obviously I remember him more in the NFL, though. But he always seemed to be a guy that was a little less about, I'm going to be the hardest man on the field, and more just kind of like, you know, I know football better than the other guy, and we're going to prove that. Maybe that's what Kalen DeBoer's like.
No complaints on that if it works out.
You can grab that mic a little closer to you. It's all good. Be comfortable.
I'm comfortable here.
All right. You sure you're comfortable?
It's running away from me.
Well, that's why I said grab it. Yeah. Use your hands. Be a man. There you go.
We're set up.
There you go. All right. What do you want to get into? We're here on a football Friday. We're going to do keys to the game. We're going to do three players to watch. Dax has a voicemail for us. And we're going to make predictions for the larger scheme of college football. So let's get right into our keys to the game. Alabama's taking on Wisconsin, 11 a.m. tomorrow. Fox, right?
I think so.
Oh, Fox or ABC? It's ABC, isn't it?
Oh, it is ABC.
Sweet. Fox last year.
Yeah, it was Fox last year. It's ABC this year because we're not playing. We're not playing on Big Noon Kickoff. Playing on ABC. So check us out on ABC. Check us out, Bama Central. All over the website.
You don't have to watch on mute.
Right. I'm not a Gus Johnson fan.
Nor am I.
Gus Johnson or Joe Klatt? One bullet. Who wins?
I love Gus Johnson, and I will die on that hill.
I'd rather hear Joe Klatt.
I mean, I'd probably pick Joe Klatt, too, but I don't particularly like either of them. I think when they get together, it's an atrocious booth.
That's true.
I just like Gus Johnson. It's not every play's a highlight, man. Like, it's just not.
It's the greatest four-yard run ever.
A three-yard run up the middle. It's not a life-changing play. You know, save that for the touchdown bombs and the, you know, the whatever.
Like how hard he runs.
When I see a 15-second clip of Gus Johnson, perfect. I can't listen to a whole game.
I think there's a very, very strict age divide with Gus Johnson, where under a certain age, you love him.
Not for me. You a Pat McAfee fan?
Yes. Huge.
Yeah. Well, okay. Maybe that's what it is.
Y'all are definitely fools. Y'all are fools. Theo, we need you to lead this younger generation into some wisdom.
I'm leading.
I mean, the reason, like, man, I guess it's not Pat it's is, not tanking in the young folks' opinion.
Pat but, like, is mind poison.
Yeah.
I think I like Pat a lot less than I did a couple years ago.
Right, that's also the kind of opinion I have. I'm in
with
now.
That I've being said, I do him. Still think he's a very entertaining figure in sports media.
I wouldn't disagree.
And one of
that.
The best things that ESPN has to offer right now.
Well, we're the first part of that. We're not on ESPN, but we are one of the best things in sports media. Yes. Most entertaining things in sports media.
It's an
media.
Outstanding show that we.
I think if I just saw a little less Pat McAfee, I'd be happy.
Exactly. You only need so much.
He
Joe
doesn't need to be on the game day panel. Give him a game day segment
or two.
I think he's great on game day. I think game day in its current form is must watch television. I think game day is a near perfect show right now.
Enjoy that. I'm going to have some breakfast.
I will sit down and watch.
It's a chore for me to watch it. I'll be honest.
I'm all 3 hours every week.
No,
and love it.
I'm gonna be.
No, it's a chore.
All right,
so I watch it, but I don't have a great time.
Chris Walsh, you're watching this. Our boss is always watching the program, and so we just got it out of him. Theo watches game day 3 hours every Saturday. So when Nick Saban says Alabama is getting beat up in the trenches, Theo is your guy. for the quick hitter.
Well, not this week because I will be in the Alabama press box.
Yeah, you'll still be the guy.
All right, so I can watch game day from there.
Right, because I'm not watching game day in the Brian Denny press box. I promise you that. But people will be. The sickos absolutely will be.
I'll throw on game day in there.
They'll be watching it, and I'll be having breakfast, sipping coffee, cutting jokes.
I'll be having breakfast too, but
sipping coffee, cutting jokes, watching warm-ups is what I'll be doing.
I'll be watching it. I'll just now have to pay attention a little less close than I maybe did before.
Golly, just. It's an insufferable program.
I don't think it's insufferable, but yeah, Desmond Howard, he doesn't know what he's talking about 90% of the time.
He doesn't, but it's still entertaining.
I don't think it is because he doesn't know what he's talking about.
That's a great point. That's a great question here. Like, to be entertaining, you have to tell me the truth and like actually have knowledge and facts and stuff. You can't just like, if we just sat on here and said the most hooey stuff in the world that, wow, Alabama didn't even lose to Florida State. That was not even real. We're not, I don't know. Just going off and trying to be this big, you know, shock jock, whatever the case may be.
I don't think
that's not entertaining to me.
I don't think Desmond Howard comes off like he is claiming to be some kind of expert.
Then why are you on the program?
I think that a lot of times you get a guy like Kendrick Perkins, for example.
Oh, another horrible.
He thinks he knows everything. Horrible. And he clearly doesn't. Desmond Howard, like they've even cracked jokes about it before. They were doing this game week one where it was like, guess where this guy transferred to. And I remember they, like Desmond cracking
and Desmond didn't do his damn research.
But it, like,
see, to me, like, I like when the Inside the NBA team does that.
Yeah.
Just because it's Chuck and Shaq and they're really run, really funny. I don't think that the College Game Day matches up like comedically with them. So I need them to know a little bit. Like Kirk and Chris Fowler, y'all, they know what they're talking about. Yeah.
It's obviously not an entertainment show. It's a show to get me ready for the games.
I think that's where we're wrong, though.
I think it is
very quickly shifting into an entertainment.
When you
product.
Have a show right in front of a bunch of, you know, drunk college kids who stayed up all night to be there, who are holding hilarious.
I think
that's an entertainment show.
I think the target demographic has changed the way that they consume this product. The people that were watching College Game Day 10 years ago did want the more information and wanted the breakdowns and everything. And
right.
Now they just
want to know what's
now they
want
to see Pat McAfee yell at some kid when he kicks a 35-yard field goal and shanks it wide left or something. Like,
I want
not for me, but you know,
I want Coach Saban and Kirk Herbstreit to sit up there and break these games down one by one. That is much watch TV. To let me know, well, today you better be watching this matchup in the slot.
I would agree.
Oh my God!
Like,
yes.
that's not the big thing about game day anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Theo is right here. I just hate that. That's what it's coming.
Does
to.
This make us officially old, Theo?
You guys are unks here.
What
do you think about? What do you think about the Fox trying to do basically the same thing by getting all the Barstool people?
Fox is just trying to do a worse version of it.
I hate Dave Portnoy.
Meanwhile, like
I think, can't stand the guy.
Like, I think Mark Ingram, for example, is great on that show. I think he's very, very solid.
Mark is King Gump on that show, and I do love it.
I don't. I guess I can't listen to Mark Ingram. But he gets on my nerves so bad. Know, I love Mark Ingram, and I love him, and he's great. And, like, outside of that show, I think he's awesome. He's a perfect representative for the university. But, man, he's just a little too much for me on the show sometimes.
Now, to the point that you guys were making, my father prefers Big Noon Kickoff to College Game Day.
Oh, I could never.
We gotta find out what kind of drugs your father is on.
They could give me 4 straight hours of Pat McAfee, and I think I'd still like College Game Day more than I like Big Noon Kickoff.
It's Urban Meyer on that.
It is. It's Urban Meyer is a real big turnoff.
It's Urban Meyer. I don't want to listen to anything. And it's Matt Leinart. It's Urban Meyer and Matt Leinart together.
I don't mind Leinart as much, but it's definitely Urban Meyer for me. I know all of the things that have happened surrounding Urban Meyer. I don't want to listen to him talk to me.
That
kind of makes me want to listen to him.
Ever. I don't want to hear a single word he has to say.
No, I don't either.
Just
and,
give
if
me
you
Mark,
listen to the
Mark
podcast
Ingram and
that
Brady
he's got
Quinn.
With Mark Ingram.
No,
it is. I've seen maybe a handful of clips in my life from never listened to a full episode, but it's very obvious that the two of them do not talk to each other outside of the recording of that.
Give me Mark and Brady Quinn. Just talking ball.
Brady Quinn's okay.
That'd be solid. But no,
I need more of a breakdown. We're getting too much into the entertainment now. I think you can fight. You can strike a fine balance.
Because look, hardly anyone can be ready for all the games on a Saturday. But for College game day, this is your job. You have 3 hours to break down these games that we're about to see. You can set the table for the day.
They just need to split. Give me the first hour when all of us sickos are awake. Give me that as your like real football nerds. Like everybody unite and watch this because you're all awake. Then as the hungover college students begin to arise from their, you know, Friday nights, as we get into the, you know, 10 o'clock hour and so on, that's when you can get in there. You know, you roll the uprights out, you get the kid, kick his field goal, whatever. I think, you know, they just got to find the balance there, and they're moving too far in one way, I think.
It's a fair point, but I think it's hard to have a boring show with the just atmosphere around them, and
the atmosphere already gives you the entertainment. So give me the meat and potatoes.
You got to play into that crowd too. You know,
yeah.
That's why Pat comes out for two segments in the show.
Yeah, give him 30 minutes, and I'll be send him on his way. He does how many hours of TV a week?
Keep bringing Lee Corso along.
4 hours a day, 5 days a week.
Bring Lee Corso along to just take two helmets and go one up.
Mm. Boo!
Let Lee retire. Yeah,
let the man rest.
One up.
That's cruel. That's cruel to make.
All you have to do is raise a helmet, lower a helmet, raise a helmet. Like that is, to me, that's a peak entertainment moment of the show because it's just like hilarious. He's got nothing, but he's just, here's one helmet I'm raising. Boo! I'm gonna raise the other one. Yay! And he's got the crowd in the palm of his hand, and this old man is just boo.
Yeah. I mean, like that's essentially all it's been for the last 3 years.
I love it.
And I don't believe that ESPN forced him into staying on that show. I think it was more Lee Corso was not ready to retire, and who are you to tell Lee Corso to retire?
You don't.
But man, yeah, he just stayed on a little too long.
He would look at the crowd like, "I'm about to get you." That old man smile. That old man's smile. He'd be like, let's see if I still got it. Raise up a helmet. Boo. Man. And then smile come across his face like, yeah, I still got it. Lowers it. Raises the home team. Yay! Yeah. He's just like smiling. Like,
Lee Corso, he could do that for in perpetuity and never lose the audience.
Exactly.
It's awesome.
He doesn't have to say a thing. He's you best. Just have, just travel around. Boo. Yeah, I would think it's great every week, and we just take him along the road until he passes.
I think the real question is when are they? You know, how long is it going to be until they let Pat do the mascot head thing? Because we all know it's coming.
Never. Do not. That'd be
they're going to let him
will.
Do it.
They will.
They will let him do so. It because they let him do whatever he wants.
Because your generation enables him.
Yes. It's your fault, Theo.
Yes. It's because we want more entertainment. We want more Pat. We want more slop.
You know, 5 years from now, everybody, the kids that are in the crowd there, they won't know who Lee Corso is.
Right. And 5 years from now, that panel is all going to be replaced by Boston Connor and who else is on that panel? AJ Hawk. No. It's just going to turn into a sixth day of the Pat McAfee show.
You got a full, you're a little too dystopian here, Joe.
Well, I like to predict where we're going. I like to be
they
prepared.
Will let Pat do the mascot.
Yes.
I don't think Pat will do that.
He will.
I think he will. Nah. He absolutely will.
Just like he steps all over wrestling because he has no idea when to talk and when not to talk. He just thinks, oh, they're paying me to hear me talk. So I'll just, every time this wrestler does Razor Ramon's move, go, hey, yo, in the like the first five times.
We've gotten Joe off on a tangent.
It's fine. It's fine, Matt Pat. Like, I get it. But every single time the wrestler does Razor Ramon's move, you don't have to just go, hey, yo. It's like, if we don't
We've
stop
lost
him,
the plot here.
If we don't stop him, then he just continues to grow. He just continues to grow and grow and grow and engulf and engulf and engulf. Soon you'll see when he puts the mascot head on, you'll see what we were right. And it's your fault for not speaking out.
It's going to be ESPM.
That's
Entertainment
right.
Sports Pat McAfee.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, I forgot for a second that there was an Alabama football game tomorrow.
Is there one? Is there one?
Are they going to be here? Are they going to be there?
Is there going to be a football game here, Theo? That, this is perfect. Is there... will the game be competitive, yes or no?
I'm going to go no.
All right, perfect. Why don't you transition from this into your keys to the game for Alabama football?
My keys to the game for Alabama football, I think number one is arrive to the stadium.
Bingo.
I think my number two is, you know, make it out of the locker room, no problem, get onto the field. And I think my number three is just have fun out there, because I do not think that Wisconsin is going to pose any even semblance of a challenge to this Crimson Tide team. I think that you listen to these guys talk, they are awake. I think that those 5 days after FSU really, really lit something under this team and saw the way they responded last week. I think we have a continuation of that, and Alabama wins by at least 40 points.
Oh, my gosh.
Boom.
Theo, are you more or less excited about this game than you were last week's game against ULM?
Well, last week I was dreading everything. I wasn't even excited to go into the stadium. So exponentially more excited for this week.
I'm right there with you. I mean, you know, anybody that listened to this show last week and they knew what I picked for Alabama to do against ULM, and it was not performed particularly well. I think I said it was going to be like a 14-7 Alabama lead going into half, and maybe you end like a 31-17 kind of game. But Alabama completely proved me wrong. They played with some fire. They played with that juice that they lacked in week one, and we saw a little bit from this team. I think they will continue to dominate Wisconsin this week. I'm with Theo. There's not a whole lot really here to break down as far as keys to the game. I mean, you know, you just want to see another clean performance from the offense. I'll be watching the right tackle spot to see what Michael Carroll does, see where he works in. As far as the defense goes, I just want to see guys continue to play, you know, play loose out there and play fast, play like we saw Drake or Patrick Jr. play last week, play like their head's on fire. And then, you know, the next thing, just keep the run game going. Keep hammering the run game. Want to see, you know, maybe see all these guys get involved this week if you have the opportunity to see some of the other ones. You know, we had a big week with Kevin Riley last week, but I'd like to see some of the other guys get their shot.
Theo, how you feel about going on Instagram at halftime?
I am not a fan. I just I may be the young one here, but I just, what are you doing? Why do you even have your phone? I think you should leave them in the locker room, and they should be kept away in a...
The locker room, like, at Mal Moore.
Yeah, honestly. You do not need to see that thing.
Not the locker room in Bryant Denny Stadium.
What are we doing on our phones?
Should Coach DeBoer get one of those cubbies?
The big cubbies, yeah.
Right, the cubbies with the little like magnetic locks.
Got some GA walking around collecting devices.
I am not opposed to that idea at all. There's no reason whatsoever for any Alabama football player to need to be on their phone at halftime of a game.
So when I played, we had Walkmans and we had MP3 players. Okay. And the iPod was still there. But at certain times it was, hey buddy, we're just listening to the music that's going over the entire boombox speakers in the locker room. Like, we're all listening to the same song here. I know everybody wants to, you know, warm up with their certain music. Some guys like this style, some guys like that style, but at some point all the headphones go off.
I agree.
The phones get put away, and you just leave the music into some DJ's hands. You leave the music into Tim Keenan's hands. Let Tim Keenan just create the vibe, and we're all listening to the same song.
Like, people are getting upset over Proctor warming up, phone in hand, because he was listening to music. I have no problem with that. Pre-game, listen to your ritual playlist. You have everything that you want to hear pre-game. Go ahead. You don't need it at halftime. We don't need any distractions. You're a team.
Hey, man, I got to check the Auburn score.
Oh.
They got it on some TV in that facility.
You got to check out what them War Eagle Tigers are doing.
I agree with y'all. Yeah. But when you play like Drake or Patrick Jr. did, I also don't care what you do.
Exactly. Who gives a rip? Go out there and take someone's head. If you want to be on Instagram, it's fine.
If Ryan Williams had done this and during the Florida State game or something,
exactly,
we'd be having a totally different conversation. I'd be furious about it. You know,
during the Florida State game where he drew two penalties that nobody's talking about, drew two first down penalties. One would have been a touchdown. Maybe both of them would have been a touchdown. What if there weren't penalties and he caught those balls?
They were, and we didn't.
Too early in the season to be playing the what if game.
I'm just saying. Maybe his game wasn't as bad as people thought.
I mean, he didn't play great. It wasn't as bad as people thought, but he still didn't play great.
But the reason it wasn't as bad is because Florida State is a good football team. And, you know, like it's bad. It's not as bad for those reasons. Like for the fact that, yeah, first game for Ty Simpson on the road against a top 25 opponent. But no, the fact of the matter is Alabama lost pretty comfortably, and you can't play the game on, oh, if this happened, Alabama would have won, because quite frankly, I don't think Alabama was all that close to winning, and you know, that's okay for week one of a game of a season.
And we're picking out Ryan Williams because who else on this team is going to get on Instagram at halftime than him? Come on now. Yeah, I tell you what, you know, Bray Harbor played bad week one. I know he's not getting on Instagram.
No. Bray Hubbard doesn't even have an Instagram. Exactly. Bray Hubbard's got a burner Instagram. That's what he's got.
It's no photos on it.
So he can just...
It's user 845634.
Just DM pretty girls. Hey, it's Bray Hubbard. They're like, this is a scam. No, it's not. You want to go hunting?
I don't think any girl was talking to him after that week one.
Oh, they are. Look at that young man.
No, he earned his stripes back a little bit in week two. He played hard.
And I think he had a great response this week in the press conference.
I agree.
It was a little too.
I didn't like it when I first saw it, but after Joe kind of expanded on it a bit, and it was more.
Yeah, it was just a little too. What's the right answer? That's what I'm going to say. It sounded a little too. You ever pour gasoline on fire like that? Like, really? I don't know.
How did you? It was a little Arch Manning esque. Yeah. Everybody else was a target on their back.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So my keys to the game for the Crimson Tide are dominating on the defensive line, and really what I want to see is controlling the running game to the point to where Wisconsin stays in third and long, and then it becomes controlling the passing game in the sense I don't really even care if there's no sacks in this game. I know we're all focused on sack numbers and they're not good. They're still not good. They were horrible last year through two games. They're basically horrible.
Yeah.
But if we can't get sacks, okay, whatever. I'll accept that as a loss. In exchange, can I have you containing the quarterback,
yeah,
whatever curse word you want to say, will you contain this mother joker in the pocket? Okay, this Danny O'Neill kid is not going to crush you with his legs, but what he could do is scramble for 7 yards on third and six and slide over and over and over and over and over again because you know he broke the contain of the pocket, and Deontay Lawson's a step to the left or to the right, or Justin Jefferson is playing, you know, deeper mm-hmm. coverage. He's playing the hole, so he's in deeper coverage. And by the time Danny O'Neill slides at that 7 yard gain, well, there's Justin Jefferson. Oh, you're too late. He slid right in front of you. It's a first down. Yep. He also got the first down, and you didn't make him pay the price because you didn't hit him because you're playing. I mean, you're playing your coverage assignment, which is okay, but. Defensive line group, will you keep this mother joker in the pocket? It's fine. Squeeze the pocket from outside in. Don't let have some inside penetration as well. Just slowly squeeze. It's fine. The athletes on the outside, I like Vinnie Anthony. I like Vinnie Anthony. I'm meh on Tretch Ketchahuna. I'm meh on it. Right, but I do like Vinnie Anthony. I think he's a physical type receiver who also has some speed. But am I scared of him? No, Zabian's got that. It's cool. It's no problem. You've got Zabian. You've got Damani. The secondary's fine. They're not going to beat you going down the field in the passing game. You just need to stay with them and keep this guy in the pocket. He's a good enough athlete to where. If I had to move, I can get 5 yards. Is he a good enough athlete to where we're going to call 50 quarterback runs? No. But you best believe there are going to be a couple QB read options in there, and you best believe they're going to try to split zone, you know, get everything moving laterally and one plus running. They'll do that a little bit. But the real thing is just dominating on the defensive line to the point to where the quarterback just feels boxed in. And I don't even think they did that against ULM last week. I don't. I think that the defense played well, but I also think ULM was so inept that didn't really even matter. Couldn't create a push up front in the run game. And ULM was just so committed to getting the ball out. They had the one play where LT almost got to him, but really they were committed to getting the ball out pretty quickly, and they just didn't have any winners on the outside. I think Wisconsin's almost in the same boat to where they don't have any winners on the outside, but they got a little better offensive line, and their quarterback is athletic enough to just dink and dunk and move you a little bit. Dominating on the defensive line is my number one key, and really, on first and second down, it's winning in the run game, and on third down when it's passing down, it's keeping the quarterback contained. On the offensive side, for me, my biggest key for Alabama is something they've done well with through two games: no turnovers. Did turn up all over against Florida State?
No.
Ty Simpson had no interceptions. None. So no turnovers in those first couple weeks. Just continue that, because I think that if you continue that and keep the running game usage high, Ryan Grubb, we don't need to be throwing 43 passes. I like Ty Simpson, 17 of 17 last week. It was great. But you don't need to be throwing 43 bleeping passes against almost anyone.
Especially really. Wisconsin.
Right.
Save that for the teams you need it against.
Right. Against almost anyone. And so let's give me some Kevin Riley. Let's give me some more Daniel Hill, please.
Please.
I'm not really missing Dre Washington because I didn't really know what he was going to be. Yes, I did talk about being fall camp. I thought he was going to probably create a role for him. And he might still create a role for himself. Give me much more Dre Washington. And Richard Young, forgotten man a little bit, didn't run the ball that much last week. I think that you need to get north of 35 running back carries.
I like that number.
I think that's a good number. But I also think that being 2 weeks in now, I'm not as concerned about how evenly distributed the carries are.
No, I'm not either.
If Kevin Riley has... really, I mean, we've seen the job he's done, and if he's the guy now with Jam out, then he's the guy.
I'm seeing Kenyon Drake and I'm seeing TJ Yeldon in my comments when I throw up Kevin Riley highlights.
I like those comparisons. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he has, I'd like to see him a little more in the receiving game, maybe. But
had six receptions last week.
Did he? I guess I just
he had about 50 yards in the passing game.
Yeah, six receptions last week, but all of it was right out of the swing passes. My deal is just don't catch the fumbleitis like TJ Yeldon had. Don't catch the fumbleitis.
Why'd you have to even say it?
Well, I got a worse one for Kenyon Drake.
Oh, no.
Don't catch that bug either, Kevin Riley. Don't catch either of those bugs, please. So that's my key to the game is dominating on the defensive line and not turning the ball over on offense. Not that the turnovers have been a problem yet, but I think as long as they don't turn the football over and they run the ball north of 35 times, you said 40 points?
I think we are looking at a 40-point victory.
I don't really think that's that crazy. I mean, I don't think Wisconsin is like head and shoulders above better
Wisconsin,
than ULM.
On Wisconsin, plow right through that line.
I mean, that's one of the worst teams in the Big Ten.
Yes.
Wow.
Am I wrong?
40 points? All right. The line's 21.5. So if you're a gambler, Theo's giving you free money right there. Let's go to the voicemail line. Then we'll come back and do our three players to watch. So we're going to go to our voicemail line. You can call the voicemail line at 205-758-33. That's Derek Daniels' number. 205-758-3391 is Derek Daniels' insurance number. 205-462-7340 is our number right here on the voicemail line. Here's Dax with his prediction.
What's up, guys? It is Dax. Happy Football Friday. It has been a depressing 2 days, but we're not going to get into that. It's football time, and that's what we all need a timeline cleanse on our Twitter feeds. So we got Wisconsin coming up. We're getting their QB2, I'm assuming, I think, because their QB1's a little injured, which, what happened last year. Except this QB2 was one of two He was at San Diego State last year, and he was one of two true freshmen in the country to start as a true freshman in game one. So I don't know anything about him besides that. I just heard that little tidbit, so you're welcome for it. I think it's going to be the same bludgeoning as last year, except might be maybe even a little more bludgeoning, because I don't know. Based on Wisconsin's body of work, they're definitely not better than they were last year, but this is football. And based on our body of work, we're not better than we were last year, but I still think we are. I think Wisconsin's around the same level as they were last year. So let's go. Ty Simpson, 285 passing yards, 3 passing touchdowns, no rushing touchdowns. Then we're going to go Kevin Riley, I think, is going to be the RB1, and we're going to get Jim Miller some snaps, but I'd rather not see him like a ton because I don't want him to re-injure that collarbone. I want to see him super fresh for Georgia. I think Kevin Riley is going to get most of the snaps. So Kevin Riley is going to get around 82 rushing yards, 1 rushing touchdown. Jim Miller is probably going to get a good couple snaps. He'll probably get around 30, 40 rushing yards. I think Rich is going to see some snaps, maybe not as many as he's been seeing the past 2 days. So I think our total rushing numbers are probably going to be around like 170, maybe. And then Jeremy is going to be wide receiver 1. We get Ryan Williams back, but Ryan Williams is going to be covered by, you know, 3 or 4 DBs every time he's on the field. So welcome to being a sophomore, Ryan Williams. Jeremiah Smith is having to deal with it too. You got it, buddy. I believe he's still the best wide receiver on our team. If anything I saw from last year, Ryan Williams is one of the best playmakers in the nation. Bro is so evasive. He just hasn't had the opportunity to do anything this year so far. I believe in Ryan. We all believe in Ryan. But Jeremy is a dog. We love Jeremy Bernard. I think he's going to get around 100 or so receiving yards and a touchdown. Ryan Williams is probably getting it around. If he's not double covered every snap, he's probably going to get around 70, 80 in a touchdown. And then we're going to see either Lazier Brooks or, well, Lazier, Isaiah, and Rico are probably going to split. Maybe. I don't know. They're all so good. Our wide receiver depth is ridiculous. But final score, I'm going to go 52 for us in Wisconsin. I'll give them 10. I'll give Wisconsin 10. It's a home game. We do good at home games. DeBoer does really good at home games. That's one thing I've gathered over last year and the one game we've had at home this year. So there's my predictions. We'll see what happens tomorrow. Roll Tide, boys.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Roll Tide. That's Dax on the voicemail line going 52-10. Alabama over Wisconsin. We appreciate him joining us right there on the program. You can as well at 205-462-7340, extension 800. Theo Fernandez, why don't you lead us right off? We'll go 3 players to watch. You go, my 3 players to watch are X, Y, and Z. So you give us player 1. This is how we play. You give us player 1. You tell us why. Then you give us player 2. You tell us why. And you give us player 3. You tell us why. And then you say, so those are my 3 players. And that's how we make it into a nice little clip.
Okay. Well, my first player to watch is Cole Adams, and I think that
Oh,
I'm very interested in the amount of reps that Cole Adams got. I'm very interested in the amount of receptions he pulled in. And I'm very interested if this is a trend that's going to continue for the whole season. So I think this game is going to tell us a lot about how will we see Cole Adams used down the stretch this year. Second player to watch is going to be Michael Carroll. I'm curious if he gets back out there today. I mean,
it's amazing.
Look, I'm not great at scouting offensive linemen, but I know that there are a lot of people who know a lot more about that than me, and those people seemed relatively impressed by what he did. So if this game does go the way that I think it will, I'm very curious to see if we see him out there. And my number three player, guy I wrote about this past week, is going to be QB Reese.
Love that.
I think that I was astounded QB Reese did out there on the field in his time. I mean, in just one quarter, he recovered a fumble, took it 20 yards, and then he forced one that allowed us to score that final touchdown. So I think that, you know, as a redshirt freshman, such a young guy, he's really blown what he should be doing out of the water. Kane Womack called him the hardest working player on the defense at some point this summer. And I think that, you know, if someone has to come off the field at some point in the game, whether even if it's just to catch your breath for a couple snaps, I want QB Reese taking his spot. And I think that he'll do some very big things.
Ramsey Ram, QB Reese.
That's a good three. He stole at least two of mine, which is great.
Now he has to pivot and go into the creativity well.
I have one more note on Cole Adams as well for people to watch this weekend, though. The punt return. This is a week where he takes one back. Wow. Just got a feeling it's going to happen.
Takes one back or gets taken out again spectacularly by a punter.
It takes one back. He's going to get a lot of return opportunities this week, I believe, because I don't have much faith that Wisconsin's going to be able to move the ball very well. But my first player to watch, Lazier Brooks. Big week last week. Was the name, you know, the hot name in the streets. Everybody was talking about after last week's game, you know, kind of had his breakout performance. I expect him to hopefully get another, you know, decent share of opportunities this week. So hopefully he makes the most of them. Next, I want to go to the defensive side, go Steve Bolabumwa. He didn't get in the game a ton last week, but made the most of the opportunities he had. I think he only played like 10 or so snaps, but he had like four tackles. So I want to see him maybe that's a sign that they're trying to work him into the defense more, and hopefully this week gives him an opportunity to maybe bump that snap number up. I'm excited for what he can bring. You know, it's a guy that has not been playing football very long, and I think the upside there is really high.
Bumwa.
And we'll go back to the offense for the last guy, Daniel Hill. Joe already mentioned him earlier, and I was very excited when he did. I just love Daniel Hill. I just want to see him used in short yardage situations, goal line situations, situations where you need a guy to just be that powerful, big-bodied back and run somebody over, run through a mother bleeper's face. Put Daniel Hill in the game. I'd like to see it. Kevin Riley's great. He's had a great, you know, couple weeks here. I think he, you know, what they do as running backs is different. Kevin Riley's a little bit more, you know, speed. Daniel Hill might be a bit more power, but I'd like to see the younger guy get involved a bit. That'd probably be my three.
Dang, you left me with a really low hanging fruit, and I'm taking it. I'm taking it just because it's there. Number one for me, Ryan Williams.
Sure.
I mean, you left him out, which is perfect. But you're coming back from injury. You've heard all the noise, all the negativity. Are you too soft? You need your emotional support, teddy bear.
You think he rolls out this week?
If I were him, I'd put it on my head.
Me too.
I'd wear
a t-shirt with it. I'd have everything.
I'd have one in each hand.
Yeah, I hope he does.
I would have a backpack full of them. And as I'm going on Walk of Champions with me, throwing them out, just tossing them out. Man, like, y'all want to talk? And watch these Alabama fans who wanted to talk about emotional support to, you know, just reaching and fighting over them in the Walk of Champions, because they would be. They would be. So I'm taking Ryan Williams. How do you respond not only from being a week off and an injury, but just the nyan noise? And do they play Ryan in the slot still, or do they bump him back outside and say, Isaiah Horton, you're needing to step up, buddy, because our best three receivers might be Jeremy, Lazier Brooks, and Ryan Williams. So we got to figure out a way to get all three of those on the field. How do we do it? We move Ryan back outside. I think Ryan Williams is a huge, huge player to watch for Alabama this year. I believe he scored in the Wisconsin game last year.
End of the first half.
Right, right. It was a really beautiful ball from Jalen Milroe. So I'm taking Ryan number one. Number two is LT Overton. Is LT, for all the things I talked about, when are you going to convert these almost sacks into sacks? And even if you don't convert them into sacks, you can't let them escape for 6 yards. You can't let them escape for even three, four, 5 yards. Like, make them throw it out of bounds. And I know they threw it in an incomplete pass this past week, but that should have been a 40, 50-yard completion down the field after you let the quarterback escape. You're looking at a toe out of bounds against an inferior opponent. If that's against an SEC team, that's 50 yards, and you just turned what would have been an 8-yard sack into a plus 50-yard play. You're still on the field huffing and puffing, and the other team is going again. You've got to get this issue figured out on the defensive line. Whether it's, hey, we just can't sack anybody, okay. Well, can we collapse a pocket? Can we collapse a pocket and keep a quarterback hemmed inside it? LT Overton, you're my number two player to watch. Okay, so number three, what do we want to do for number three? We already took Michael Carroll, who I love. We already took Daniel Hill, who I love. I want to think Kevin Riley, but I'm thinking about, like, who's really going to be impacting the game. Is it It's Deontay Lawson for the last one for me, because in conjunction with LT Overton containing the quarterback and the defensive line winning on first down, will you fill the holes and be attacking like you did a bit against ULM, but you didn't at all against Florida State. And so you've got a small in between ULM and Florida State, closer to ULM than Florida State, in my opinion. Will you go fill the holes as the defensive lineman stands them up, as Isaiah Faga, as London Simmons, as Edric Hill stands them up, as Jordan Renaud stands them up? Then will you basically fill the gaps? Will you fire through the holes that are there, meet the running back in the hole on their side of the line of scrimmage, not 5 yards down the field on our side of the line of scrimmage, because you can't take a good angle, because you can't explode through the holes that are there. So yeah, I'm going LT Overton. I'm going Deontay Lawson and Ryan Williams as my three players to watch this week.
All good picks.
I like it.
Y'all ready to make some picks and get the heck out of here? I think Theo's got class. Theo's got class, or man, church, or something to do. He's got to be more responsible and move on with his day. I see six games that we should pick, Mason. I see six games plus the Alabama game. So, Theo, this is your first time with us. Yes. We don't spend a whole lot of time analyzing these games because we're not experts. We just give the pick, and if you got a thought, you can give a thought. It's A-okay, but it's not meant to spend 5 minutes on each game here. So we're going with the biggest games of the week. I put 15 total games into my little group chat with all the people who are not college football fans, and they said, these are not, you're crazy. And I said, it's going to be a good week of college football.
Good weekend.
But for our sake, we're going to boil it down to six games, because these are the six games that everybody's going to pay attention to. Starting at 2:30 on ABC, Georgia is at Tennessee. Theo Fernandez, the Georgia Bulldogs are a 3.5-point road favorite. Will Joey Aguilar write his name in the annals of Tennessee history by beating Kirby Smart? I think it's, what, 4 or 5 games in a row that Kirby's got over Tennessee?
It's eight.
It's oh, my gosh. 8-game
win streak. And that 8-game win streak ends on Saturday.
Wow.
I have been blown away by Tennessee's offense. I think Joey Aguilar has been phenomenal. And I think that Georgia kind of sleepwalking a little to start the season. They get a little wake-up call before their matchup with Alabama.
I'm all right with Georgia. I'm not trusting this Tennessee offense yet. They haven't played anybody. I'm all right with Georgia until I'm proven wrong.
Kirby Smart has a thing for this Josh Heupel offense. And that will continue on Saturday. I'll make it 9 with Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs. Are you going cover? Are you going 3.5 cover?
Yeah, I think so.
I am too. Yeah, I think it's going to be 10. I think it's going to be 10 to 13 for the Georgia Bulldogs.
It'll be a late touchdown, bad beat.
Yeah, rough. All right, we'll keep it rolling on 3:30. Who knew the game of the day is going to be on the CW network? 3:30, number 18, which is a crime. 18, South Florida. Well, what should they actually be, Theo, as you answer this? Should they be 12? Should they be 9? Number 18, South Florida, is going to Miami to take on the Miami Hurricanes, the Fighting Carson Becks. The Miami Hurricanes, wow, this is shockingly familiar, are a 17.5-point favorite. Mason, was Florida a 17.5-point favorite last week against the South Florida Bulls? Theo Fernandez, will Alex Golish and them boys make go back-to-back-to-back beating three ranked teams in a row?
I think they fall just a little short, but I think the game proves their legitimacy. I think this is this game is within 10 points. They compete to the end, but I think that Miami Carson Beck, very good team right now.
I am unfortunately in agreement with Theo here. You know, as much as I do love this USF team, as much as I think they should be ranked a little higher than 18, they're the only team in the country with two ranked wins. I think it might come falling down this weekend, just because Miami will probably be able to out-talent them. It'll be a close game, and USF's going to fight until the very end. But I think Miami probably just squeaks this one out.
Yeah, I ditto everybody's comments. I'm taking South Florida plus the points for Miami to win the game. All right, we'll keep moving on. 6 o'clock on ESPN. Arkansas is at Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin, you let us down with the cover last week. I really thought that y'all were going to smoke Kentucky just because of what happened last year. But Arkansas, Taylen Green and company, is going to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is a 6.5-point favorite. Theo Fernandez, who you got?
Ole Miss has struggled. Ole Miss was not all that impressive last week. I do think they take care of business here and move to 3-0.
Oh, I don't know, man. This one's tough. Taylen Green is playing really well. Arkansas looks okay through the first 2 weeks. I mean, you know, I haven't been exactly sold on Austin Simmons for Ole Miss yet. Lane Kiffin does love to lose a game he's not supposed to. I'm going to take Arkansas.
Whoopee!
Yeah, give me Arkansas.
Sweet. Is Bobby Petrino get him to remind everybody that he's the offensive coordinator in Arkansas? I'm going to say yes as well. We'll take Whoopee Suey to win the game outright in the Grove. 6:30 on ABC, the Florida Gators, and there's no little cute number by their name anymore, is going over to Death Valley to take on number 3 LSU. The LSU Tigers, the Bayou Bengals, are a 7.5-point favorite. Theo Fernandez?
I think LSU covers that spread. This Florida program is reeling. And look, we know Billy Napier well enough to know that he's not going to start winning until there are 4 games left in the season and he needs to keep his job.
I'm right there with you. I think Florida continues to fall this week. I don't think that Billy Napier is the coach that you look at and you're like, ooh, watch out after a tough loss. They'll bounce back. No, I think they will continue to get worse, and we'll probably see LSU win this game pretty handily.
DJ Lagway regression is full effect right now. We're going to say we'll make it three for three. I'm taking LSU to win and cover. If you are on NBC or Peacock at 6:30, you will see Texas A&M going to Notre Dame. Notre Dame, we haven't seen you since you lost a heartbreaker to the Miami Hurricanes in the season opener. Number 16, Texas A&M, is taking on number 8, Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a 6.5-point home favorite, Mr. Fernandez.
I was impressed by Notre Dame against Miami. I thought it was a battle of two very good teams. I think Notre Dame wins, and it's honestly not particularly close.
Oh, I really don't know. I like this Texas A&M team. I like Marcel Reed at quarterback. He's playing pretty well. I've not been overly impressed with what I saw from Notre Dame's quarterback in week one. I do think Notre Dame, just on paper, is probably a better team. But you know what? Give me the SEC. Give me Texas A&M.
Damn. I'll go with Theo here. Big brand. Can't stay away. Notre Dame. Easy. Notre Dame takes care
brands.
Hey man, give me that fighting Irish man.
No, he's not even fighting anymore. He carries a football now.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
It's awful.
Yeah, that's weird.
I still think Marcus Freeman is a top
great coach.
I think he's a great coach. I think Elko's a great coach though.
The last game on our sheet before we go predict the Alabama game is at 6:45 on the SEC Network. The Fighting Diego Pavias are going to South Carolina and going looking to break Shane Beamer's heart right here. Let's end this dream early. To Vanderbilt, unranked Vanderbilt, going to take on number 11 South Carolina. Both teams 2-0. Theo Fernandez, the Gamecocks are a 3.5-point home favorite. Can they avoid the inevitable that is Clark Lee?
Shane Beamer loves to lose a game that he should not lose in every season. That's going to continue. I got the Pavias winning this game.
Yes.
I think Vanderbilt is inevitable.
I'm with you. I think Vanderbilt actually unlocked something a little bit last week with that win. That second half was the first time, I think, since Diego Pavias took over as the starter that I've seen their offense actually start to click and not look like it was just dragging along until they finally punched it into the end zone. And they started getting explosive plays. They started to unlock some things a little bit, and I think that continues this week. Give me Commodores.
Anchor down! Anchor down. Commodores get a huge win, get themselves into the top 25. Oh man, if they win this game, they're very likely going to stay undefeated until they come to Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, baby,
give me them Fighting Commodores. I hope, not only do I hope they win, I think they will. I think this is going to be a game that Shane Beamer, it starts to get close and you see that clipboard start shaking and you see that anxiety start to manifest itself throughout the South Carolina sidelines. Lenore Sellers, his eyes are going to get big in those goggles. You're going to play Sandstorm a million times at Williams-Brice Stadium, but it's not going to help you. Vanderbilt wins.
Joe, I've got to step in real quick before you throw us the Wisconsin-Bama game.
Why?
Haynes King is going to lead Georgia Tech to an upset over Clemson.
I don't hate that pick.
Okay.
I don't hate that.
I just think I've been completely and thoroughly unimpressed by the Clemson offense this year.
We love us some Brent Key.
I had to get that pick out there.
It does look like it hurts Haynes King to play football sometimes. He is like the worst best quarterback ever.
I love Brent Key.
I do too. But Haynes King, he is so like.
How much money can we pay you?
He is a dog.
I know you're an alum of Georgia Tech, Brent Key. I know you were here as an offensive line coach. How much money would it take for you to take a demotion and come back as offensive? We'll just make you associate head coach. I'll make you any title you want to get him back on staff.
Oh, we got
to
pay him the $2.9 million Georgia Tech's paying him.
That's a drop in the bucket.
For a quality offensive line, it's nothing. We'll take it out of Coach DeBoer's salary. We'll take it out of Karen's lottery winnings.
I got a Kane Womack's salary. I mean, he got the shutout last week, but it was against ULM. I'm still not sold on you, Kane.
All right, let's bring this baby home. Wisconsin comes to town. Theo, will you be a nice host tonight? I know you're going to go out on the town. Will you be nice to the Wisconsin fans tonight?
Yes, because, look, I'm still a northerner at heart. So
you need to hit one of them with, hey, at least basketball, and then say, wait.
Oh, yeah, Frank the Tank was 10 years ago, man.
No, I will encourage you to be nice to them because they were beyond nice to us last year.
That's good to know.
They were like, let me buy you a beer. I'm like, oh, okay, sure.
All right, so they deserve.
Have you had cheese curds? No, I haven't. Let's order some cheese curds over here, right here.
Cheese curds are one of the greatest inventions in human history, and yeah. I stand by that.
So if you get an opportunity to buy a barbecue sandwich for somebody, I know college kid, low on funds, but if Mr. T's coming around, do you know Mr. T?
I do not.
Oh, dang. You don't go to the big boy bars. That's why. Mr. T comes down to Timberson Square with a big old box full of barbecue sandwiches, and you can Venmo him, what, $3, $4 and get you a barbecue sandwich. Traveling barbecue salesman.
I've been on a little hiatus from bars.
Good man. We applaud that. All right, lead us in here. We're going to we want your closing thoughts, and we want your pick. Alabama, it says 20.5 here, right here. I don't know if it's 20. Mason, you want to play it at 21?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, we're going to make this hard because at 20.5, it's pretty easy. At 21.5, it becomes a little harder. What do you think? Give me final predictions, score prediction, any final thoughts. What do you want to say about Alabama-Wisconsin tomorrow at 11 a.m.?
Alabama won this game 42-10 last year. If the margin of victory is not at least the same as that, I'll make it 31 for a relatively simple number. If Alabama wins by less than 31 points, I will be disappointed in this Crimson Tide team. This is another game where you have to go out, keep the momentum rolling, make a huge statement. And I trust that Kalen DeBoer and Alabama will be able to do that. Ty has another incredible game. I just don't know how in the world you're supposed to cover Bernard, Ryan, and Brooks, and, you know, the three other talented receivers that'll be rotating in. I think that Alabama, for the second straight week, drops 50 points. Give me a 50. Dak said 52. I'll say 51. 51-10, Alabama victory.
Throw down Mason Woods.
I'm right there with you, pretty much. I think this, I said it yesterday on yesterday's show. I think Kalen DeBoer is not a dumb man. He knows what the narrative is surrounding him currently, and he knows that he needs to continue to impress everyone watching Alabama football. So I think he's going to keep the foot on the gas this week. I think Alabama is going to continue to hammer it on offense. And yeah, I'll go 45-7.
All right, so I love the cover. I still love the cover, even at 21.5. And I'm still sticking to what my eyes have seen, that Wisconsin doesn't have an offense that's going to challenge you. Their most effective form of offense is going to be Danny O'Neill scrambling for 7 yards, scrambling for four to seven yards. He's not going to ever break one off for more than 15, but that's going to be a painful thing to watch. Is it sustainable all the way down Saban Field at Bryant Denny Stadium? No, it's not. I'm gonna go. See, what just came to my head was 38-10, but I don't even like that. I like 48-10. That's what I like. I like 48-10. I like us to see Connor Talty field goal. That would be two field goals, right? 45 and 47. Yeah, that would be two field goals. Two Connor Talty field goals. Get him some more experience in Bryant Denny Stadium. I'd like to see Ty at a pretty high completion percentage again this week. It won't be 100%, but it still will be pretty high. You remember the coaching staff, Mason, said 65% is their goal. He'll exceed that. And let's get two of these running backs some touchdowns. Two of these running backs in the end zone. I just don't think that Wisconsin has the tools to really challenge you. And so because you're going to have two huge wins, we're going to be battling next week, Mason. Alabama, can they destroy Georgia? Uh-huh. Will they be? They're going to. And so we're going to have to. That's going to be a 2 week challenge for all of us to kind of go get to this Georgia game adequately. Georgia not looking great against two mid tier teams, and it's going to have a tougher team tomorrow. So it's going to be a fun time, a fun Saturday. You're going to be able to find us right there inside Bryant Denny Stadium, Bama Central, but Alabama Crimson Tide on SI. If you can follow Theo Fernandez at Theo Fernandez _. You can follow Mason Woods at MA Woods _ on the Twitter machine. Myself at Joe Gaither 6. We had a lot of fun with you guys this week. A lot of fun on the voicemail line at 205-462-7340, extension 800. We'll talk to you on Monday. Win, lose, or draw. Leave us your voicemail reactions to the game. If Alabama wins big, is in a struggle bus fight, loses, I want your voicemails at 205-462-7340. We'll talk to you on Monday on the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central and BamaCentral.com.
Thanks for joining us on today's edition of the Joe Gaither Show on Bama Central. Keep up with Joe on all his social media pages at JoeGaither6. Subscribe, rate, and review the show on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and be sure to read us daily at BamaCentral.com.